Hello and welcome to Zach Attack. We're never going to be better than this. This is episode 16, 17 again, from 2009. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Joe too.
This is the last movie that we have before the High School Musical month. I hope you're all very excited for three episodes next month.
Yeah,
I don't even want to call them bonus episodes because, like, it's just one big thing. Like, they're bigger than bonus episodes.
It's like trilogy.
It's the biggest thing that we're ever going to do in Zach Attack. We're never going to be bigger than that.
we're never going to put out more episodes than that in one month. Hopefully not.
17 again, or okay, I love calling it Zeffentine again, but that's so hard for me to say for some reason.
Okay, we can call it whatever you want.
Yeah, I'm gonna struggle with it this episode.
That's fine.
I don't know how many times we're gonna use it by name, but like, I'm just gonna say 17 again.
Okay.
This is a movie that I saw a little bit on HBO. I remember in college, it was on HBO.
Okay.
I think, because it came out in 2009, and I remember watching like 5 minutes and being like, oh, I thought Zac Efron was a bad actor, but, like, he's not that bad in this. Then I didn't think about it for, like, 6 years, and then we started doing the podcast, and this was one that we sort of were looking forward to.
Yes.
This was one of his bigger movies.
Yes.
Relatively early in his career, and it's the first one that he did after High School Musical 3.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool and exciting.
It is, yeah, yeah. I thought that his acting was a little shaky here, and I couldn't tell if that's because he was impersonating Chandler, like he was still trying to, like, channel Chandler through him, and that was, like, that, or he was, like, working out his acting kinks in this. But, I mean, guess we'll figure out next time when we watch High School Musical.
So one little tidbit about that, and I never watched Friends, so I know he's Chandler, but, like, I've seen, I think, this might be an exaggeration, but I think I've seen two episodes of Friends. I've seen the pilot, and I saw the finale.
I've seen way too many, so.
So I don't know him as Chandler. I don't really know him as anything except for maybe just that guy from Friends. But anyway, in the movie, Zeff plays young Matthew Perry.
Yes.
And Zeff apparently called Matthew Perry while they were filming or before they were filming or whatever for both help with his lines, but also to sort of get tips on his mannerisms and, like, impersonating
okay.
him because they're the same person. So I don't know if it's shaky acting or
you're
if he's,
right,
like,
then.
Just trying to
Perfect.
Be Matthew Perry.
Yep, that's what it is.
So there's maybe an excuse.
He has a lot of Matthew Perry delivery, and in this movie, Matthew Perry, I mean, pretty much in every movie, he just plays Chandler from Friends, so, yeah. He really is. And, like, that's not, like, you know, like, I'm always saying that they're, like, the same actor, whatever. Like, no, his, like, mannerisms and stuff are the same, and even not watching Friends, anything that you've seen him in, he has, like, the same delivery and stuff, so.
Well, how many friends has Zeff crossed paths with? Because he crossed paths with Lisa Kudrow.
He did!
In the same
oh,
scene.
Shit, I never even thought
she
about
was in
this.
Neighbors.
Yeah, I never even thought
I'm
about
I'm trying to
this.
Think now. I don't think he's ever with Jennifer Aniston or Courtney Cox or David Schwimmer or... Who's the other one? Who plays Joey?
I forget, but yeah.
I don't think he's been in with any of those, but this is two friends crossover in Zach Attack.
Yeah, I mean, well, Friends kind of infiltrated everything, so. And they're all kind of doing, like, comedy movies now and stuff, so it makes sense. But yeah, you're right. Damn, I didn't piece together that he was with Lisa
I didn't think
Kudrow.
About it until just right now. The other thing I want to say is that in this movie, Matthew Perry's best friend is played by Thomas Lennon.
Who's
and
Daniel.
Now on CBS, there's The Odd Couple, which is Matthew Perry and Tom Lennon.
Oh,
so,
really? So they must actually be friends. Like, they must get along.
Probably. Tom Lennon was also... I was looking on IMDb. This is a little bit of trivia that I saw, was that Tom Lennon was in one episode of Friends but never had a scene with Matthew Perry.
Oh.
So maybe they met on set there. I don't know. Or maybe they more likely just became friends in this movie and then whatever. Or maybe it's just fate that they just wound up together in the new show. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows. But I love him, dude. He's really funny. Reno 911 was a hilarious show. I used to watch the shit out of that. So seeing Dangle be in this is really...
I love him. I did not love him in this movie. And that's the big problem I think I have with this movie is because, like, that's supposed to be such, like, a source of fun. Him and... Is that the woman from The Office?
I don't know. I honestly... I didn't recognize her.
Watch The Office?
I watched
but let
it.
But let me look it up. I think that's Jan from The Office, if I'm right.
It's some other... She might have been on The Office, but I don't think she's, like... I don't know. I don't remember. She looks too indistinguishable for me to pick her out of something.
Yes, she was Jan from The Office. She was in 42 episodes of The Office, and this
Shit.
One she plays the principal.
Okay.
They're supposed to be, like, so funny, and, like, these two weirdos, kind of, or, like, he's supposed to really be a weirdo, and then, like, when he realizes that she's into fantasy and role-playing and everything, too, it's supposed to be, like, this match made in heaven.
Yeah.
I just... didn't love it.
I liked it. It wasn't bad. It was, like, cut in pretty well for the movie. I thought he was funny because he just cracks me up, just like his mannerisms and like how he acts and stuff. So I did like it. Yeah, I could see why you didn't. I mean, like, it wasn't great. It's not like something I'd be like, oh, you have to watch this movie for this.
Right.
Yeah.
What I was most surprised about with this movie, pleasantly surprised, is I was expecting the movie to start off with Matthew Perry as, like, the beginning is him as an adult. But here, we start off with him in high school as Zeph, and then he ages to Matthew Perry, and then goes back to Zeph. But what's even better is that, I mean, at least for checking off our boxes for Zack Attack, the first shot of the movie is a shirtless Zeph playing basketball.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, this movie's off to a great start already.
Same, yeah. I was watching it with Rachel. We were pretty drunk last night. We started watching it. And she's like, well, there you go. There's your shirtless Zeph already. And I was like, oh, damn, perfect. Yeah, it was a great way to start off the movie. Lots of potential there.
And I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but we also, basically one of the last scenes in the movie, we get crying Zeph. So we have to go sort of the entire span of the movie, but we get the two main Zephs that we're looking for. We get shirtless Zeph at the beginning and crying Zeph at the end.
We need to do a tally again to see how many cryings we've got, because we've got one in like the past couple movies too. We've hit like a lot of crying Zephs. I think the last one we didn't have one in was like Liberal Arts, because he was only
Yeah, because he was a very cheerful, upbeat, you know, only in 7 or 8 minutes of the movie. Yeah, you're right.
Yep, agreed. Yeah, it ticked off all of my boxes again. These, like, I hope that we get shirtless and crying in High School Musical. I'll be really excited. What if he cries multiple times in each High School Musical? Wouldn't that be awesome? If he just,
it would be amazing. I honestly don't know. I feel like, just based on the tone, I don't know anything about them other than he was in there with the Vanessa Hudgens, and then they started dating because of those movies.
Then her vagina pics leaked. I remember those.
I don't know anything else about those movies aside from that, but I'm assuming that they're all mostly upbeat, but I'm sure they all have emotional cores, and they're going to be sad at times, and they're going to probably get together and then break up and then get back together.
Exactly.
So I'm hoping he does cry. There's going to be opportunities for him to cry.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think so too.
Now, okay, so this movie, there's a little fact that we talked about the last movie we did, Charlie St. Cloud. We did the Entourage episode last, but when we talked about Charlie St. Cloud, the same guy who directed this movie directed Charlie St. Cloud.
Oh.
That's not what's crazy, though. What's crazy to me is that he is, on his IMDb, second most known for Pulp Fiction. And I was like,
what
were you involved with Pulp Fiction? And in the scene where Jules and Vincent go to the apartment and eat the big Kahuna burger and drink down the Sprite, the director is the guy on the couch that Jules calls Flock of Seagulls because of his
haircut. He's Flock of Seagulls? No way.
He's Flock of Seagulls. Yep, he's Roger.
Oh my God. Because
on IMDb, it just says Roger. And I said, who is Roger? So I Googled Pulp Fiction Roger, and there's just pictures of Flock of Seagulls laying on the couch. And that blew my mind.
That's fucking amazing. That was, like, one of the best facts we've ever had. I can't believe
that. Like, that guy grew up to direct Zeph in two different movies.
Yeah, man, talk about 6 degrees of separation. You're pretty close there. Damn.
Amazing. And at the time Pulp Fiction came out, Zeph was like 6 or 7, so like, you know, he wasn't even old enough to see it. Just that blew my mind. That was crazy.
Yeah, that's a good fact. I'm kind of speechless about it, honestly. Damn, dude, that was really good.
I also want to tease right now, we'll get into it at the end, just like for Charlie St. Cloud, we had my favorite IMDb trivia with the real geese. We have one for this movie. I don't like it as much, but I like it a whole lot, and it's close to real geese. So I'm going to say this at the end.
Thank you.
But we have a really, really good IMDb trivia. And here's a little bit of a hint. It looks like it was written in English, run through a translator, and then run back through a translator back to English. Something like it's... You're going to see. It's great. So we'll get to that at the end.
That's awesome. Those are my favorite kind of posts on any type of social media situation where you can post. The ones that are, like, in English, but bad enough that you think that the person definitely speaks English, but not that well. Yeah, that's awesome.
The other thing that really surprised me at the beginning of this movie is that the basketball coach is played by Jim Gaffigan.
Same. I was totally mind blown. That's, like, one of the first notes I have. It's like, well, where the fuck did Jim Gaffigan come from?
And he apparently is one of two actors. I don't remember who the other one is, but there's only two people in this movie who play the same, like, it's the same person in both parts.
The
in
janitor.
1989 and 2007.
The janitor.
But the janitor's not real, though.
He is.
But he's also, he's not in 1989, though, is he?
Yeah. I thought so.
When Zeph was a high schooler? Because we're only in that world for like 5 or 10 minutes.
I think so. I think the janitor was
maybe
there.
It was him. I don't know. But Jim Gaffigan was one of the two. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Because, like, he comes in the beginning, and then when he comes back at the end, I was surprised again to see him. But, I mean, it made sense for him to still be there. And it's basically, like, his first year of playing college or coaching high school basketball, and then his last year of coaching high school basketball.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I'm glad they bookended
it. It was cool to see him
like
twice.
Agreed, yeah. I didn't expect Jim Gaffigan in this. I was actually wondering if he did this sort of, what the fuck was the guy in the last one that just, like, did the movie so that his daughters could meet Zeff?
Oh,
Henry Hill.
Yeah. Oh, God, what's his name?
Fuck.
I'm not gonna look it up.
Goodfellas.
I'm gonna try to pull it.
Goodfellas.
He was also, he's Ray Donovan.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, isn't he?
No, he's not.
Ray Liotta. No, Ray Liotta.
Ray Liotta, yes.
Not okay. Ray Donovan. That's why I had Ray on the brain. Ray Liotta.
You were close.
And also, you know, some other actors from that movie. Yeah. Speaking of that last movie, did you get any vibes? It's a different situation here, but in Charlie St. Cloud, we had Zeff as this older brother to the young kid, like really, like actual brother, but like
yeah.
really in full big brother mode.
Fatherly.
In this movie, we get, I felt like the same relationship between Zeff and the young Tom Lennon that we did in Charlie St. Cloud, but they're not brothers. They're just best friends, but he's just like, you know, this cool kid who's sort of taking care of this dweeby little boy who seems like way younger. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Did you get that same kind of vibe or no?
Yeah, he wasn't as clingy and like it seemed less bizarre. But it does seem like he takes care of him. It was kind of hard for me to believe. I don't really imagine this kid that was, like, super star basketball player was, like, friends with this, like, nerdy kid and, like, took care of him like that. That's kind of, I don't think that would ever happen, but.
Yeah, I don't, it's weird. I mean, it makes sense that once he quits the basketball team to run off with his pregnant girlfriend, that he would stay friends with the dweeby
kid. Yeah, for sure.
But, like, yeah, I don't know why basically the most popular kid in high school is friends with the guy who's, like,
the
playing Dungeons
loser.
And Dragons on his lunch break. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, maybe it's, like, one of these, like, remnant relationships where, like, they were friends when they were really young or something, and they kind of, like, took different paths.
It almost has to be, yeah.
It's weird, but it worked. I didn't get so much of the Charlie St. Cloud thing. I was more weirded out by the son-Zeff family relationship, which we'll talk about. That was kind of creepy.
Yeah, so this is the 16th episode. We've had baseball Zeff. We now have basketball Zeff. We had golfing Zeff in Dirty Grandpa.
Yes.
We had swimming Zeff
yes.
in that Nicole Kidman movie.
Yes.
Have we had, I mean like, Zac Efron looks
sailing
like an athletic
Zeff,
dude.
Sailing Zeff in the
sailing
last
Zeff,
last
yep, yep, yep. Have we had any, he's never played football
no.
or hockey.
No. There's a couple sports
think,
left
oh,
for him.
Oh, we had race car driving Zeff.
That's true. We had race car Zeff, too, which isn't really athletic, but I mean, I guess it's a sport.
No, but like, it's a sport, like it's a spectator sport, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, he
always has
fans.
But that's 16 movies and 6 different sports.
Yeah.
We're not only, like, where it's he's playing a sport, like, aside from Dirty Grandpa, like, that plays pretty heavily into the character that he is. Like, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah, no, these were all, like, significant parts of his character development was, like, the sporting aspect of it. Yeah, I didn't think about it. Another good point.
Because he's nothing sporty in Neighbors, and he's nothing sporty in Mike and Dave.
But that's not really, like, those weren't, like, sporty situations.
Right.
But I guess they're doing, like, athletic shit in Mike and Dave and Neighbors. Like, they're...
Oh, he's a sport of a competitive DJ?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a sport for sure.
Yeah.
It's a blood sport.
Thanks for making me laugh on that one. That was pretty good. All those athletic DJs out there, shout out to all the super athletic DJs.
So not only is he, like, the captain of the basketball team and the most popular kid in school, but he's also, like, dancing with the cheerleaders. Like, he still is, I don't know if that's his choice or if that's the director being like, hey, we just saw you sing and dance in 3 movies. You're going to dance in this movie, too.
Kind of
like
transition
in the
it.
When they're doing, like, the cheerleader routine.
Yeah.
That he's not in Entourage yet, where he's just like, man, fuck that shit. Like, I'm not going to do that. He's like, I guess I'll still do it because this director seems cool. He was in Pulp Fiction. I'm going to listen to it.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was. He was like, Flock of Seagulls has an idea. I'm going to run with it.
We also get... So the beginning, when it's 1989 and he's a basketball player, he's the cool kid in high school, it's only like 5 minutes. And then we, like, jump to present day, which is 2007, I think. He has gone from being, like... I guess it makes sense if you think about it, but, like, he goes from being this guy who literally gave up on his future to be with his pregnant girlfriend to this guy who resents his wife, like, has nothing, wants nothing to do with her.
Dude.
She kicked him out of the house. She's divorcing him. You know, his kids don't like him. It's, like, such a jarring jump. it's hard to sort of follow. Like, it's, you get whiplash trying to figure out, like, how it went from here to here. Like, there's nothing good in his life. And I know that's the point of it, but, like, wow.
Yeah, agreed, man. I didn't get it, dude. She's still super hot, so I don't know how pissed off
Leslie Mann, yeah, and she's super funny. Like, she's the best. I love her.
Yeah, dude, she's great. So I'm like, how could you be this pissed off at that lady? Like, and your kids are kind of cool. So, like, what the fuck is, you know, Harriet the Spy's running around your house and stuff?
So, yeah, so Michelle Trachtenberg, Harriet the Spy, she was my first crush. When I saw Harriet the Spy in theaters, I, like, fell in love with Michelle Trachtenberg. I think I was probably, like, 5 or 6. And I was just like, oh, man, like, she is, like, I still love her. I mean, I don't think she's really doing much anymore.
No.
But I was in love with her as a little boy.
That,
so it was
good to see her. Sense. This is, now I understand your type of, like, weird, weird kind of homely girls, I guess.
I didn't recognize the son from anything.
He might have been in something. He did look familiar.
I'll look him up. I did recognize, I don't know if you caught it, I think you probably watched the show. Did you recognize the bully, the captain of the basketball team in modern day, the guy who was dating Michelle Trachtenberg?
No, who is he? Is he, like, just because of the blonde hair, I was thinking he was the dude from the movie that they're, like, all at the Walmart or, like, the BJ's or something. It's, like, a comedy, too. And he's, like, Employee of the Month or something with Jessica Simpson. I thought it was that dude, but I realized that this kid is, like, very young, and that movie came out pretty much at the same time, so it's not like he got, like, 20 years older all of a sudden.
He is Hunter Parrish, who is Silas from Weeds. He's the older brother, the older son in Weeds.
Never saw it.
Oh, okay. That's all I know him from. I mean, he's pretty big, because I was like, oh, because he looks the same. I think this is in the middle of that Weeds run. No, the younger brother was not in anything I recognize. He's in a bunch of kids' stuff. I don't think he's in anything that you would know.
Okay.
His top 4 on IMDb are 17 Again, Sunny with a Chance, Starstruck, and Landmine Goes Click. So,
nope.
I don't think he's... Yeah, no. Definitely not.
There's a lot of, like, ambiguously placed actors in this movie that I was like, I don't... Like, yeah, I totally missed the chick from The Office, and I was convinced that I've seen this kid before, so maybe I'll just blame it on being drunk.
There you go. So, modern day, Matthew Perry is at his kid's school and sees this, like, mysterious old janitor. And I was so glad for how racist Zack Attack has kind of been at times, that this wasn't, like, a black guy. Because, like, you know,
we have had a lot of racism in Zack Attack. We have.
Like, you know how, like, in storytelling, like, in literature, there's, like, the magical Negro trope where it's, like, this old black guy who, like, guides the way?
Yes.
Like, that's exactly what this part was, and I was like, oh, thank God, like, it wasn't like a Morgan Freeman type. It's just, like, a fat white guy.
Yeah, no, it's the dude from, he's in all the Adam Sandler movies. He's in all the Adam, you know who this guy is. He always plays, like, a very small character in all the Adam Sandler movies, and I was excited to see him, too.
And so he sees him here at school, and then, like, turns his back, and he's gone, and then driving home that night, he sees this guy about to jump off a bridge, and then disappear. And then, this is the weirdest body swap movie, because I remember a couple episodes ago, I don't know if it was Charlie St. Cloud or Entourage or what, I told you there was a Keanu Reeves movie called Young Again, or like a TV episode or whatever, a TV movie, where he was an old man and then wished he was a kid again and became Keanu Reeves. But, like, he wished for that. Here, Matthew Perry ostensibly, like, jumps off a bridge into, like, a swirling vortex in the water and, like, walks out, like, wet and muddy, and then showers himself off, and he just is all of a sudden Zeph. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, I agree. It was kind of a weird one. I was thinking we were going to get, like, a Parent Trap type situation.
Yeah.
We would have gotten, like, a switch. I thought that he was going to be Matthew Perry, and Matthew Perry was going to be him. I didn't realize that they were going to be the same person until, like, you know, the opening of the movie. But you're right, this was, like, a really weird... I mean, you know, this was kind of, like, a teen kind of movie, so they take a lot of liberties with, like, some stuff in this film.
Yeah, like, I didn't think it was going to be Parent Trap. Like, I knew what it was, but, like, it's weird that he doesn't wish for it. I guess he, like, subconsciously wants to go back to a time when, like, things weren't bad.
Yeah,
but, like,
he gets kind of thrown into it. This isn't, like, he chose to do this. I agree.
Yeah, and it's also weird that, like, because really what he wants to do is, like, fix his marriage and fix his relationship with his kids, but instead of going back in time to, like, be there more, you know, like, I think that's, yeah, okay, so going to another podcast on our network, in Cage Club, one of my favorite movies that I never had heard about before we started doing that is called The Family Man, which is from 2000. That's a Christmas movie, so I love it already, but, like, at the beginning of that movie, he is with Taylor Leone, I think. he has a choice between, like, getting on a plane and not getting on a plane. And in the real timeline, he leaves her and becomes, like, this very successful businessman. In that timeline, he, like, goes back in time and then opts to stay with her and, like, lives that life.
Okay.
And so this movie could have done that, like, where he goes back in time and then, like, is there with Leslie Mann and, like, helps them raise the kids. I guess that's not as funny, and that's sort of, like, a longer, slower movie.
Yeah.
Here, to fix his marriage, he just becomes high school himself in today, which is the same thing that happens in the Keanu movie, but, like, I don't know how you're supposed to fix things. It's strange.
It's really strange, yeah. I don't think that 17-year-old me would be able to accomplish anything, like, with a family.
And what's also crazy, and, like, they sort of play it up in a few different ways, like, the first time Leslie Mann sees him, she's really drunk, or people don't really recognize him, but it's crazy to me that no one, that, like, especially, like, his wife, or, like,
yeah,
people at the school or whatever, don't recognize that this guy is the same person as he was. Like, he doesn't look different. Like, it's not like things, like, are a little bit different. Like, he's exactly himself when he was 17 with, like, around people. Like, you know, Thomas Lennon is freaking out and, like, doesn't recognize him until he, like, sees a picture of the two of them together as kids and is like, oh, right, like, you are my friend.
Yeah, it's weird, dude. I don't... Maybe I'm not old enough to have experienced this, but, like, I think that I would fucking recognize if somebody was, like, a little kid version of one of my friends. You know what I mean? I'd be like, hey, you look an awful lot like this dude.
Like, I just saw, I mean, this is not the extreme example that it is, but, like, it's a, in a similar way, I just saw a couple that I went to high school with, that I graduated with. I haven't seen in, like, 11 or 12 years. I just saw them, like, at the grocery store on the weekend, and I recognized them right away. So, like, they've aged. I haven't seen them or thought about them in, like, a decade, and I recognize them right away. You
yeah.
know what I mean? Like, here, like, you're literally looking at your best friend or your husband or whatever from a time when you knew what he looked like. That's crazy.
Yeah, I maybe it's, like, diluted because you do see them so often type situation. I don't know. I'm not going to try to logic this one out. It was weird. I agree. I definitely
have qualms with it. You have to accept a certain amount of, like, logic jump to, like,
yeah.
not pick this movie apart. Just
exactly.
based on the premise alone.
Exactly, and I like the movie, so, like, I gave in a lot of the time for this one, so.
We get in this movie, and I didn't think about this while I was watching it, but I just thought about it now. In Dirty Grandpa, remember when he keeps going to prison and he keeps coming out in, like, crazy, terrible clothes?
Yes.
Like the raindrop, drop top.
Yes.
Seth or Zac Efron with some cops and a crop top.
Yes, yes,
we
yes.
get him in full-out Ed Hardy mode by choice in this movie. He's like, oh, like, this is super cool. Like, this is exactly what I want to look like.
I know, dude. The Ed Hardy scene was really, really funny when he has all the fucking Ed Hardy clothes on. It was really funny.
And what also dates this movie to very specifically this time period is they're making jokes about Kevin Federline and Clay Aiken, which I think were, like, maybe, I don't know, maybe timely then, maybe still a little bit outdated, but, like, now, definitely do not play.
Yeah. Yeah, but dude, I like K-Fed. We've talked about this before. I like K-Fed. I know a friend that hangs out with K-Fed. I think K-Fed jokes are very timely for me. Always. They're classic.
We get an amazing... We haven't had this in a while. We get an amazing description of Zeph. Do you remember what it is?
No, I don't remember this. I was kind of drunk. Go ahead.
One girl says to another, if that boy were an apple, he'd be a delicious.
Oh, I did remember that. Yeah, that one was okay. That wasn't one of the greatest Zeph descriptions.
I just liked it because we haven't had it in a while. Like,
yeah,
we haven't had
one,
like, you know,
right.
since Mike and Dave or the neighbors were like, you know,
he looks like something the gay men made in a laboratory or something.
Yes, exactly.
those are my favorite. Yeah, it could have gone a little better. I would have liked to have heard some more cutting ones, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but this is also not that kind of movie. Like, this is not a hard R-rated comedy.
No.
They have to be, like, family-friendly and, like, keep it okay for kids to like, make jokes like that, I guess.
Exactly, exactly. It was a teen movie. The worst thing I saw in this movie was he mouthed, what the fuck was that, at one point, and he just mouthed it, like,
oh,
to himself.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, he would, like, when he was, like, being creepy with the mom at some point.
Oh, and he's super creepy. Like, everything, in this movie, like, everything is, like, somehow, everything in this movie is, like, especially between him and Leslie Mann, it's, like, cute, and it's also awkward, and it's also extremely uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah, it's,
because
it's pretty weird.
She's dancing with and flirting with and talking to a 17-year-old boy which is weird, but it's also her husband, and it's like fresh eyes, and like he's able to do things that aren't really necessarily romantic, but like romantic enough, like putting on their wedding song, or, you know, yes, paying attention to her, or helping out around the house, or whatever it is. And it's cute, but it's also at the same time, like, and that's kind of the whole thing, that, like, she even says to him, like, I know that the whole high schoolers dating older cougars or whatever, but that's not gonna happen. And it's still creepy.
No, dude, I don't know. I'm totally fucked by society. We watched liberal arts, and I thought it was, like, really gross and creepy. I see Zeph trying to bang Leslie Mann, and I'm, like, stoked about it. So, it's...
Well, they're two beautiful people. Like, let's encourage it.
No, but just in general, like, if you see, like, an older woman, like, kind of going after a younger guy, it doesn't bother me as much as seeing, like, an older guy going after
as a
younger...
As Ted Mosby going after Elizabeth Olsen.
Yes! Which is creepy.
Yeah, I get it, I get it, I get it.
But that's me, I'm just jaded by society. That's it.
Okay, so, I forgot, I wanted to tease this all episode long, but I had... My mind was blown in this movie, and I don't know... It almost has to be intentional. If it's not intentional, it is the craziest coincidence that I've ever seen in a movie. And it's okay. Not in the IMDb trivia.
Okay, go ahead, kick it to me.
When Zeph becomes Zeph again, and they go to school to register him, Thomas Lennon, who is his best friend, acts like his dad.
Yes.
But, like, to hit on the principal, says, you know, he's not married, I had him out of wedlock, he's a bastard, blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That's established that, like, he doesn't have a mom, and that's sort of how he, like, how Zeph pitches it to the brother, you know, his actual son. He's just like, would your, like, my mom didn't want people to know that I had a baby with Thomas Lennon.
Yeah.
And the kid, knowing Thomas Lennon, being a friend of the family, is just like, oh, yeah, like that. Like, I like that. Like, he just totally buys, like, yeah, oh, yeah, like, I wouldn't want to be associated with that guy either. What is crazy to me is Thomas Lennon's character name in this movie is Ned. He's referred to as Uncle Ned.
Okay.
Zeph is Uncle Ned's bastard son. Zeph is Jon Snow.
What? Oh. Yeah, that has to be coincidence. I don't think Flock of Seagulls.
I don't think it's coincidence, because it was before the show started. There's no... Because they even say a line in the movie like, you're Uncle Ned's bastard son. And I was like, what the fuck are we watching?
Oh, I didn't piece this together. I mean, maybe we had to see when Game of Thrones was, like, out, like, the books were out. They had, they
the
were
books
out for
were
a
out
while,
well before
right?
this. Yeah. Well before this, yes.
Yeah, then maybe it was, like, a little tip of the hat to...
It had to be. I'm going to Google right now, because I didn't Google before. I'm going to Google 17 again, Game of Thrones.
Yeah, see if there's a relationship.
Game of Thrones reference in crappy Zac Efron movie? Thread on Reddit. Let's go. Fan bases don't overlap much, but while flipping through TV the other day, I heard Zac Efron introduced as Uncle Ned's bastard in the movie 17 again. How many characters named Ned have bastards, really?
Exactly. Yeah.
And then the only comments are, that movie had no right to be as decent as it was, and I enjoyed that film, even saw it in theaters.
Wow. Yeah, I liked it. See?
So,
but
so,
nobody confirms or denies it.
So one other person on the entire internet realized what I said, and then two other people were like, yeah, I like that movie.
You gotta go tweet Flock of Seagulls and ask him about it.
Oh my god. I was, like, I had to pause the movie because I was just like, what is happening right now?
I didn't even connect the two, but yeah, you're right. It's weird.
Yeah, there's nothing else on the internet about this. Wow.
You've come onto something. This is a Zach Attack breakthrough. You just...
Exclusive.
World exclusive.
I do want to give a shout out to the Reddit user Ashleyist. Name Ashley, IST.
The Ashleyist, Ashley.
Is she still... No, she stopped posting on Reddit 4 years ago, so... Maybe she went crazy. Maybe she pulled, like, a Pepe Sylvia, like Charlie from Always Sunny, and, like, had, like, a nervous breakdown trying to prove this theory was true, and now is, like, no longer alive.
She's
like,
in a mental
maybe...
institution. I hope that she hears this and writes us some letters.
Please, Ashleyist, if you're out there, email us, zackattack@caseclub.me.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Oh, the first time this... We're out of order, sort of, but, like, the first time Leslie Mann sees Zeph when she comes home drunk from happy hour... She wants to, like, smell him.
Yeah.
And her friend Naomi is like, you're not allowed to smell teenagers. And I love that. Like, I just thought that was so, like, because she's so drunk and, like, feeling his face and just, like, let me smell you.
Yeah.
And her friend's like, no, you can't do that.
Yeah, that was funny. But I don't like this comedic actor, the one that was played her friend.
Oh, she was terrible. Her only joke the entire movie was like correcting Matthew Perry or Zac Efron for saying her name wrong.
Yeah, she was. I feel bad for that chick. She was in a lot of King of Queens, like she was like the dog walker in King of Queens, and
I don't know. I'll trust you on that one.
yeah, she was. And I'm just like, blah, not a good actress. Nothing for me there.
What's also weird about Zeff and Leslie Mann is that her name is Scarlet and he calls her Scar. And she's like, "What did you call me?" She's like, "Nobody else has ever called me Scar." I'm like, really? Like, nobody else
Nobody in the
has
history of
abbreviated your
your
name
life?
in the only way you can?
Yeah, I don't get it. Yeah, that's she's a weirdo.
Then there's a pretty great montage scene where, like, he's constantly breaking up his daughter from having sex or like making out with
Yes,
Hunter Parrish.
that was actually a really good, funny scene of the movie. This is kind of where I stopped the movie and like split it, and this is kind of where I picked it back up. That montage is really awesome. It was like funny. It kept me entertained. He's like spraying them with the hose and
And
like,
he's training his son how to play basketball and like blowing the air horn in his ear. And he's also like, this is also sort of like a meet cute, like kind of datey, flirty with Leslie Mann, even though they're not dating or flirting.
yeah. This is like post when her she's like that don't go cougar hunting and all this shit. But yeah, it's weird. This dynamic was really weird. Like, I want to know how he had so much free time with this kid's mom. Have you ever hung out with your friends and then had like, like 30 minutes every hangout just like chilling with their mom?
No, but I feel like he's just never, because there's nothing for him at home. Like, he doesn't really have parents. He's not gonna hang out. Like, he lives with at
Ned.
least temporary. Like, well, actually, okay. So I guess the thing is, like, that's his house. Like, that's the house he owns that he's getting kicked out of. So like, he's just gonna be there anyway. So he's not really going there to hang out with his friend, his son, aka friend or whatever. He's just going there to hang out, and whoever's around, he'll just be with.
Yeah, but that's weird. Like,
It is weird. It's
imagine if
definitely
you had
weird.
like some friend that just like chilled at your house all the time, like a third roommate. Like, it'd be fucking weird, man.
It'd be real weird. But like, everything about this movie is weird. That's
Yeah,
another thing where you
true.
sort of have to like
True.
just not pick it apart, because like otherwise,
That
like
was
they
one that
just need
got
to
me,
be
though.
around. Yeah.
Because I'm like, dude, like, no realistic way that you're just gonna be like hanging out with your friend's mom all the time. Whether or not it's like, she's kind of like quasi your aunt type situation, like your dad and him were the best, like we're best friends, and like nobody really seems to notice that Matthew Perry's not around.
Yeah, the only time that it ever comes up is that when he's supposed to be at the divorce hearing. And she
Yeah.
calls him, and he answers from class, and she's like, "Are you with a girl?" He's like, "No, it's just some cheerleaders." Like, ha ha ha, funny. But like, there's no follow-up to that, and like, he's just
No,
never.
they just like don't care. They're just like, okay, cool, like guess he just like ran away or something.
And like, I guess that's the setup, that like his kids and his wife want nothing to do with him, so they're not going to be checking on him. And the only other person, like, he gets fired from his, well, like
What
kind of
was his
forces
job? I
himself to
missed
get
this part.
fired.
I missed this part. What was his job and like, well, how did he get
So he
fired?
was a pharmaceutical sales rep.
Okay.
And he was telling Thomas Lennon, because like the beginning, the first scene or whatever, he's at Thomas Lennon's house eating breakfast, like eating Captain Crunch. He had just been kicked out of his house, and he's like, everything's going wrong. He's like, but at least I'm getting the promotion today. And he goes to work,
Oh
and his
yeah,
boss is talking
that's
about like how
right. I
like
do
what
remember
makes
this
the
now.
ideal employee. In a real weird, like only in a movie way, he says Matthew Perry's character's name. He says Mike or whatever. He's like, Mike, move back, like, let me congratulate this woman next to you or whatever.
Yeah.
And so then he grabs the Bluetooth earpiece out of his boss's ear after that meeting, smashes it on the wall, gets fired, has to ride down the elevator of shame with the woman who got the promotion
Yeah, with
and
them
all of her
being
friends
that was
who are so excited to go to TGI Fridays.
that was so we're watching that movie together, and Rachel looks at me and goes, "I think this is your worst nightmare, to be stuck on an elevator with a bunch of cackling girls being excited about TGI Fridays." Was it probably is my worst nightmare. Like, when I go to hell, I think that I'll just be riding this elevator forever.
Ooh boy, that would be awful.
Yeah, like I get skipped on a promotion for this chick, and then I have to ride the elevator with her while she talks about it with her 20
And
other
guess what?
friends.
Even better. We're going to happy hour at TGI Fridays.
I hate that so much. Oh, that's really funny. Rachel purposely knows now, like, if we're ever in a situation and a girl says woo, like, she just is like, okay, do we need to go? Like, she just like takes me. She's like, that was, yeah, you did good. I know that you're about to blow your brains out, so at this point we can leave.
Yeah, but like, he's just never, like, because he has no job, he has no family to care about him, he really only has one friend, and his friend is sort of in on it, and like, he's not gonna babysit him. I guess he just has free time to do whatever, And so that's why he's always just hanging out with Leslie Mann and is unable to, like, foil her date. And, like, he basically gets served with divorce papers, like, hey, you can get this to your uncle's friend, right? Just, or your dad's friend or your uncle, or, you know what I mean? Like, it's all very strange.
Yeah, it's weird. It was definitely weird.
But then their first date, I think, it seems like their first date is to the basketball game to watch her son play basketball. Like, it's weird.
Yeah, that's, this is, I thought that they were, like, going to go on an actual date, but I guess it kind of makes sense that they had to, like, place them here for, like, for the movie and, like, what they were going for. But, yeah, I thought they were going to go on an actual date, too.
But at least the game that they go to, Leslie Mann's son hits the game winner, and Zeph is playing in it.
And he kind of like, passes it to
things,
him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's things that happen, but, yeah, whatever. Oh, we missed the bowling alley party where every girl is thirsty for Zeph.
I did like that, and I did have notes on that. There's, like, all these young hoes that just, like, want Zeph. And, dude, you know what?
Boise boys and Idahos.
Boise boys and Idahos. So, I hope Rachel's gonna listen to this. Okay. If for some reason... What? Hold on. I had to play this.
I just like you thinking out loud. I'm trying to... Depending on what you say, I'm gonna see if I cut this out or leave this in. Probably leave it in, but go ahead.
No, leave it in, leave it in, leave it in. If I had a chance to go back and be 17 again, and there was a bunch of thirsty-ass, like, young girls, like, hitting on me, I would probably have banged one of them. Like, or all three of them. Or all three of them.
Yeah, but instead, this 17-year-old Zeph is preaching the benefits of abstinence in health class. He's talking about how, you know, you should be in love with the people that you sleep with. We also didn't talk about his complete dressing down of the bully while he's, like, twirling a basketball. They're like, oh, Zeph, like, you can do that basketball thing on your fingers? Like, we're going to have you do that for an entire four-minute scene while you're talking about it to this thing. Like, you know, it's just like, oh, you can do this? Like, let's just have you do it the entire time.
Yeah.
But then at the bowling alley, he's talking to these girls about, like, respect and, like, how is any guy ever going to respect you if you don't respect yourself?
Yeah.
And they're all like, oh, you don't have to respect me. Like, you can just do whatever you want to me. It's just like, and I think the line is like, oh, dude, oh, you're some other dad's problem.
Yeah, yeah, that was my favorite joke of the whole movie. It's when he goes, I'm going to leave this problem for another dad. Like, I just give up on this.
Well, what is weird about this movie, and it goes back to what you were just saying, like, if you were 17 again, he really has no fun in this movie. He's spending time with his kids.
This is what I was getting at.
And he's trying to hit on his wife. Like, there's no fun in games. Like the only thing that, like, the most fun he has is in gym class, where he's just like, oh, I feel great, like, I can just run around. There's the one scene of him, like, eating, like, all that shit food, but, like, he's never using his good looks. Like, we talked about, like, how we thought he was gonna be shirtless, like, checking himself out in the mirror, going shopping, doing all this different stuff. There's the one scene where he shows up in the new car and, like, the leather jacket, but, like, we don't see him shopping, we don't see him partying, really. Like, there's the party at the end, but, like, he's not really at the party at the end. He's just talking to Leslie Mann. Like, I don't, it's weird.
Yeah, dude, this is what was on. But first of all, if I was 17 again, I would have done a lot of dumb shit, a lot of drugs. I would have, like, tried to bang half the school. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if I had the knowledge I have now at 17 again, I would have gotten into so much trouble.
Because, like, he uses that knowledge to completely humiliate the bully and, like, completely one-ups, like, he knows exactly who that guy is, exactly what his inadequacies are, and then doesn't do anything to follow up on that in any way.
Yeah, he doesn't do any of the cool shit. I was disappointed by that. I wanted to see him just, like, ball out and be, like, a pretty badass dude for a while. I wanted to see him be Teddy from Neighbors is what I wanted to see him be.
Yeah. Yeah, for one scene, like, actually enjoy, or, you know, Cole Carter.
Yeah, or Cole Carter. I just want to see him just, like, crush the game, you know, like, form a squad and just, like, teach all these boys how to, like, bang young chicks and stuff. But no, he has to be, like, mature and be nice and whatever. This was lame.
So we fast forward in the movie, and they're at the party, I think, that Zeph throws. Or, no, before the party, Stan, the new captain of the basketball team, the guy from Weeds, Hunter Parrish, breaks up with Michelle Trachtenberg. And that is sort of like a win for Zeph because he's been, like, messing with their relationship.
Yeah.
And then they have the party, and he wakes up in the party and, like...
No, he gets punched. Hunter Parrish gets punched twice.
He gets punched out. Yeah, knocked out. Yeah. Which is weird because earlier in the movie, he, like, Hunter Parrish throws the basketball at him and he catches it in his hand, like, a real kind of cool superhero move.
But then he gets his ass beat by him once. When they're, like, in the sex ed class, and then he gets his ass beat by him again. And I'm like, dude, you wouldn't be like this. If you got your ass beat twice, like, you'd already be lame in school. You know what I mean? by this kid.
But he wakes up in Michelle Trachtenberg's lap, and she's like, I know why you wanted me to break up with him, because you're in love with me. And he's like, whoa, 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 whoa. And then we get the conversation about how, like, oh, you must be gay, which I feel like
he, I would
has
taken
had
this
to have
out.
Happened before.
I would have taken
has
this out.
Has that happened
out.
In the Zeph movie?
What?
What did you say?
I said I would have taken this out. Like, if like, I was, like, trying to not bang my daughter, and she'd be like, oh, you're gay, I'd be like, nailed it. That's it. You got
I
me.
I think the reason that... Okay. I get it now. I thought you were saying you'd taken it out of the movie, but, like, you would have taken that out that she gave you. Like,
yes.
Yeah, I'm gay. Like, that's fine.
Be like, I got it. I'm gay. Yeah, love dudes. Like, I don't like your brother like that, but, you know, I like dudes. Like, that, you know, and then it's just over with.
Yeah. Yeah. But instead of just like, oh, no, I just don't like you because, like,
I
want to
bang your mom.
That's just going to, like, hurt her feelings. Like,
exactly. Like, yeah. Like, now, come on. You're, like, an old man now. You're doing all this cool dad shit. You get, like, one out to be mature and, like, you know, not hurt your daughter's feelings. But no, you don't do that. You're just like, no, I just don't like you. You suck.
But so that scene is kind of like a reference or an homage or something to Back to the Future, where, like, the way he's describing the dream that he had, he wakes up and talks about his dream of being in high school again, and that's the same thing, like, in Back to the Future, but it's the reverse.
Yes.
Where his mom is hitting on him. In this, it's his daughter hitting on him, but, like, who? Just still creepy either way.
Yeah, agreed. I would definitely try to avoid my mom or daughter if I ever go back in time. That's would be, like, top things of not to touch or go near. Yep.
And then it's at this party where, like, they're at Thomas Lennon's house, and he shows back up from his date with the principal, and they end the party, and then Zeph gets slapped, like, 8 times.
Yeah.
Like, Leslie Mann slaps him, and I think Michelle Trachtenberg slaps him, and all the other girls slap him, and then Thomas Lennon slaps him, like, 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
And I know it's probably added sound effect, but, like, they all look like decent, like, real slaps.
Yeah, he definitely took some. I think he got slapped a bunch. I would like to slap the shit out of Zeph, just not like, you know, just like once for a movie, just hit him, whack, you know.
Yeah, that's all you want.
Yeah, exactly. That would be fun. But yeah, he does get his dude. He's just getting beat up this whole movie. Like, he comes back. Yeah, this is just me complaining about him not being cool again. Sorry.
Then we wind up in a scene that I feel like has happened a couple times in other movies we've done for other podcasts on our network recently. When a movie doesn't necessarily know how to end, it just somehow gets to a courtroom scene. And then we have, like, a big divorce hearing for some reason. I have no idea why it's, like, such a big room that they're in. And then there's just, like, this big monologue from Zeph at the end about how much he loves Leslie Mann. It's, like, a letter from her husband.
A letter from her husband. And he, like, tells this, like, very romantic, long story.
About the first time he saw her and, like, what she was wearing and what she was reading.
Yeah.
And how beautiful she was and the date and everything. He reads a letter and he leaves and she walks over and sees just directions to the courthouse. And she says, I need a postponement. I'm not ready to get divorced yet. Because she finally realizes, like, because right before this, he tells her that I'm your husband. And she's like, no, you're a crazy person. And then this, like, sort of,
I don't know if it seals
the deal, but, like, it kind of validates it. He's at least not completely crazy.
No, he's not crazy. Like, he knew way too much. That's all he needed to do is he needed to come out. Yeah, I mean, I guess there would be no movie. But he needed to come out and be like, yo, for serious? Like, I would have at least told my son. I'd have been like, dude, like, check it out. Like, you know, kind of
I'm
like
your dad.
Mrs. Doubtfire type shit. You know what I mean? Like, come out and be like, look, sorry, guys, but, like, it's me. Shh. I'm just trying to get back with mom.
Yeah, because that would keep you from making this movie, but that wouldn't keep you from making another different funny movie. You know
exactly.
What I mean?
Exactly, yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It would be more Mrs. Doubtfire and less 17 again.
And then, of course, we get that scene where she, after she hears him read this letter, she goes home and looks at the yearbook and is like, oh, right, like, that's the kid I'm looking at.
Yeah.
Like, of course. He was your boyfriend in high school. He was the one who knocked you up in high school. How do you not remember what he looks like?
Yeah, that's what it took. It took the high school yearbook photo for her to actually remember it was him, not seeing him for the past hour and a half every day.
And then we get to the big basketball scene at the end, and it's basically the same exact thing from the first one, how there's a big-time scout there.
I actually like this. This was a nice touch, that they made it, like, literally the exact same thing happening again, and he had to make the choice. That was a good way to round it out. I get that there was, like, you know, the cut to the courtroom scene. Like, Zeph's world melted, right? Like, everything just crashed down on him, and all in, like, 30 seconds. Then he's in the courtroom, but then they like bring it back to like the basketball game, and it's like the full. I like movies with full closure, with like roundedness to
sure.
them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
Leslie Mann's there again. She's like, I can't be here, and he sees her leave, and once again, just like the beginning of the movie, he runs out after her, but except this time, he hands the basketball to his son. But what I thought was really funny is that the movie like just doesn't follow him. The movie like stays on the referee and just like I don't know, like traveling, like
all right, yeah.
Like, let's just the game's still going on. Like that guy, like Zeff just took the ball, ran off the court, and just handed it to a kid who's like on the bench.
Yeah.
Like in, you know, I like that they still took a moment to be like, hey, we're still like in a basketball game, and like it's not your ball, like that's a turnover. Like that's, you know, yeah. It's just like a yeah. a little funny joke. I like that.
Yeah, it was. I liked it too. I was like, oh yeah, they are still in a basketball game. I did figure that part out. Like, yeah, good point.
And then they go down the hallway and they have like the tender moment, and then all of a sudden,
well, he goes back through the hallway and whirlpools back into Matthew Perry. Yep.
And the janitor is at the basketball game, and he is now adult Matthew Perry, and it's a happy ending, and they walk off hand in hand.
By the way, how did they not watch their son's basketball game? They just fucking leave.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, that's crazy.
Like, he finally makes the team. Like, they're both all stoked on it. And they're like, you know what? Just fuck him. It's all good.
I have no idea. And then the other happy ending is that we get Thomas Lennon and Jan from The Office. They, together, even though they were on the rocks, they get back
anytime.
Together.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can plunder my dungeon anytime.
Yeah, it was good.
Happy ending. Happy ending. He's got, like, a cool, like, Star Wars pod racer kind of bed or whatever.
Yeah.
That they bone down in.
What was that? Did you just full on go Matthew Perry bone down in? What does that mean?
I was trying to think, because like for Cage Club and Keanu Club, we have slang terms for sex based on like old timey movies that refer to sex like in some kind of euphemism.
Okay.
We don't have one of those for Zack Attack. So I was trying to think, go through my mental Rolodex really quick to see if we have one of those. But no, we don't have one of those for this. Because like in all these, like especially the early Zeff movies that we did, which are the most recent ones, like it's all like hard R-rated comedies that are all just like they're all filthy things that we would never repeat episode after episode. So
yeah, true.
Just bone down.
Bone down. Okay.
I'm not happy about it either.
I like it, man. I'm going to make you commit to bone down for
nope,
the rest.
Nope, not going
to
happen. Not going to happen.
I'm going to bring it up again. Okay.
And that's the movie.
Yeah, I know. It was good. I was actually pleasantly surprised with this movie. I expected worse. I was thinking, like, Parent Trap. I thought we were going to have to deal with a lot more of Matthew Perry, who I'm not really a big fan of. But it was actually just, like, a Zeff montage of him doing okay stuff. I mean, he could have been cooler. I would have tweaked the movie in some places, but that's just because, like, we like Zeff. But yeah, overall, it wasn't bad. Like, the people in it were good. The mom's hot. Harriet the Spy was cool. Yeah, it wasn't too bad.
Yeah. You know, before we get into the little trivia that I have for this, we have to play our games and everything, we don't have that many more movies for sure. We have the three in April, then we have Me and Orson Welles, which is an actual movie in May, Hairspray in June, but then the last six episodes for this year that we have planned out, we have one actual movie called The Derby Stallion, but then everything else is either a TV movie or a TV series. We're kind of wrapping up on things, like, I don't know, I haven't really looked into, like, if these things are available on DVD or YouTube or anything. We might, like, we might be closer to the end of Zack Attack than we think.
I hope
so.
So
I just hope that, you know, we have good stuff left.
I never want to end.
We'll see.
But okay, yeah, I understand. Thank you for keeping it real.
I don't want like our fans, our one fan maybe, or two fans, to be devastated when this suddenly ends like in August because we can't get our hands on anything else.
Yeah, true. We'll figure it out. We'll make it work the best we can.
Okay, so do you have any other notes about the movie, or do you?
No, that was
say
it.
All your
it was
piece?
Pretty straightforward movie. It was pretty straightforward.
So there was another movie from 1988 called 18 Again. This was apparently not considered a remake of that. That's about an 81-year-old man swapping bodies with his 18-year-old grandson.
Okay.
But it's, you know, 17 again, 18 again, but it has nothing to do with just a similar. That's more of a Parent Trap situation, or maybe like a grandparent trap.
Yeah.
One crazy thing that happened on set, apparently, was that Zac Efron was complaining about stomach pains, and Thomas Lennon said, oh, you probably just have gas, or I think he called it bad wind, and he told Zeff to, like, hang upside down and it would pass. Real weird.
What?
After the movie wrapped, he went to the doctor to get it checked out, and he had appendicitis and had surgery that day. So Thomas Lennon, you know,
almost killed Zeff.
Yes.
He almost
killed... I think Thomas Lennon, was he the doctor in The Dark Knight? I think he was.
Was he?
He's been a doctor in things. I think so.
I don't remember that. Maybe.
Thomas Lennon, The Dark Knight. He plays the Doctor in The Dark Knight Rises.
Okay.
Where Batman just sort of comes in through a window or whatever, leaves through a window. Yeah. So I like that he's, like, you know, this doctor in movies, and I think he's been a doctor in other things, and then in real life, like, you know,
he's really
probably almost
giving...
got Zeph killed. Yeah, yes. Like, just, nah, it's probably just gas.
That is pretty weird. I always err on the side of caution for things like that. That was a stupid-ass thing to tell someone, especially because Zeph was kind of younger, like he was. So, like, you're like, oh, yeah, he's probably right. This old dude is wise. It's like, no, you're just being a dumbass.
Yep. Okay, so before we play the games, I want to read my favorite bit of IMDb trivia from this.
Kick it
this
to me.
Again,
I've been waiting for it all episode. Go ahead.
It's again verbatim. 3 of 4 found it interesting. Worldwide famous teen superstar Zac Efron repeats the role of a basketball team lead player that made him a star in High School Musical 1, 2, and 3 in this brand new kind of remake of the Back to the Future unusual concept of a twisted romantic love story.
What the... Please tell me there was no punctuation in that either.
It's all one sentence.
Perfect.
The only punctuation was commas
after
one and two
yeah.
In High School Musical.
Makes sense.
That's not trivia.
No, I love these. I love these.
I also don't know why 3 of 4 people said, yes, I find this interesting.
It's a bunch of teen girls that are, like, watching High School Musical, dude. Dude, I bet the High School Musical trivia is gonna be fucking fire flames. I cannot wait for it. I'm so stoked. I'm kind of itchy, like, I almost want to start reading it, but I don't. I just want to be totally blown away by it.
Oh, I can't wait to tell you that, like, in person. I'm gonna either have to have it printed out or have it on my phone. I'll print it out, I think.
Okay, that's fair.
I'll make sure it's, like, I don't know how, because I usually read it after the movie, because I don't want to, like, spoil things about
exactly.
The movie. Not I'm gonna spoil his, I'll just do it on my phone. It's gonna be great no matter how I do it.
Exactly, I agree.
So we have hate mail.
We do? Cool.
We have actual hate mail.
Like from someone
like
that we know?
Angry hate mail. No, it's from somebody we know. We don't have any people listen to this. Like, at least, so if you're listening to this, email us, zackattackatcageclub.me.
Okay.
Just send us whatever. Just, like, let us know you're listening. This is from Melissa Lynam, who was on different Cage Club, Piano Club episodes.
Okay.
She was the one I was saying worked at the movie theater and saw Charlie St. Cloud for free in the theater.
Okay.
She is the one who created our Zack Attack cover art.
Thank you
She's
again.
Kind of our Cage Club Podcast Network artist. She sent us hate mail.
Okay. I want to hear it.
This is almost explicitly targeted to you.
That's fine.
And I've fallen into this trap just because it's easier to talk to you like this as opposed to trying to talk like me, but you'll see exactly what I mean.
Okay, good.
Subject line is Silicon Valley Girl and Little Franco. Here's the email verbatim. Learn people's fucking names. You have IMDb open in front of you. You're constantly talking about it. I don't care if you call them by their actual names or the character names, but hearing shit like Little Franco over and over is annoying AF.
Sorry,
and
man.
And then she said, P.S., I love your podcast. Does saying this ruin my hate mail? With 5 question marks.
No, it's a valid point. I appreciate the hate mail, and much like any other suggestion I get in life, I will ignore it.
She does listen to the show. She likes the show, but I know that we drive her crazy by, number one, making fun of things and, like, not having a female perspective on things.
True,
which is valid.
Give it a couple weeks.
Also, this is a little bit of a teaser. I'm not going to say who we're doing next, but the next actor or actress that we're doing, we'll say it's an actor, the next actor that we're doing is, in a way, similar-ish to Zeph. Which
yes.
is kind of why we picked it.
Yeah.
Picked him.
Yeah.
And she got so mad when I told her who it was because it's the same thing that we're going to have here. And
which
like,
is
I was
two
like, no,
guys talking about no female perspective on female movies. Yeah.
Yes. Pretty much.
She's
and
right,
so,
though. But that's what makes it fun for me. Like, I don't want to hear every girl telling me that Zeph is beautiful.
Like, oh,
I want to laugh.
Like, I like the love story. I like it when he and Piper or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, no. Like, I want to, number one, call her Piper because that's easier than saying Taylor Schilling or whatever her character's name is in Lucky One.
Exactly.
Just calling her Piper. Plus, you also know who Piper is. Like, everybody knows who Piper is. Even if you don't watch Orange is the New Black, you know who Piper is.
Yeah.
And even if you don't, like, you know that it's the female lead. Like, we're consistent calling him Piper. Number two, I don't want to know about, like, their actual love story. Like, if it's a good love story, I want to watch that movie because it's crazy insane and, like, make fun of it, but, like, also love it at the same time.
Exactly. Yes. So we need less female perspective on this podcast.
Well, it's hard to have less female perspective.
I know. That's what I was saying.
And also, the next three episodes, we're going to have female perspective. Rachel's going to be on them.
Yes.
So we're going to have... I don't know if, like, female perspective is what we need for High School Musical. I feel like we need, like, teenager perspective, which we're not going to have. So, like, no matter what we're doing, we always have the wrong people talking about it. But that's what makes this great.
It's exactly... That works for me, man. And I think Rachel's perspective is going to be a little bit more in line with ours, because she spends way too much time hanging out with me and my friends, then it's going to be in line with female perspective. So send the hate mail away, please.
Okay. First, we'll do the Google game.
Okay.
So there are a bunch of... Oh, I like that one. So there's a bunch of ones. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5... There's 6 different ones. 4 of them are similar to other autocompletes that we've done in the past. 2 of them are unique to this movie. So if you want to guess the more obvious ones first, or if you want to guess the obscure ones, just go for it. There's 6 different ones we're trying to get here.
Zac Efron hair.
Hairstyle, yes, is the second one of these 6. Yep.
Okay. Zac Efron jacket.
Leather jacket's number 1. Yep.
Yep. Okay, cool.
This is like we're kind of playing Family Feud. The survey says number one answer.
That's why I like this game. Okay, so jacket, and then... Come on, hold on, real quick.
Going down the list, there is... Just Zac Efron 17 again, and then there's GIF, leather jacket, hairstyle, full movie, quotes, and then the bottom 4, so like the 4 least most searched for things are what we're trying to get. So they're less common than the rest, but they're all common enough to be included here.
So this is, I've been trying to push this one every movie, and it has to be age. Age this time?
Nope.
Damn it.
Nope.
Fuck, why doesn't nobody want to know what his age is? I guess girls don't care. I don't know.
So I feel like they just Google, like, age without the movie, and then they just sort of do, like, quick mental math.
No, I doubt that. I just really doubt that. But okay. Yeah, no, what are they? Come on, tell me. You blew my whole load on the whole...
So the number 6 answer is shoes.
I don't remember him having...
Yeah, I don't remember him having unique shoes.
Same.
Number 4 is tied in with number 1. I'm skipping around a little bit. Number 4 is tied in with number 1 and number 5. Number 4 is sunglasses.
Okay, okay. I don't remember him wearing sunglasses either.
It ties in with number 5, which is car scene. So when he shows up in that really fancy car and gets out in the leather jacket with the sunglasses
He has an Audi R8.
And looks like the beautiful Zef that we've come to know and love, he is like, all of the Google searches are basically about that scene.
Makes sense.
And then the only other one, which I think is really... I would love to see like people monologuing this, is speech. So people are just like looking for that scene at the end in the courtroom. And I would love like for you to like have like an audition for something and be like, today I'm going to be doing a speech from the Zac Efron film 17 again from 2009.
I know, right? That's really, really funny. I was just imagining someone trying to audition like that, or doing like, you know, those like oh, fuck. I forget what it was called in school, but you would have these, like, clubs that would, like, do, like, dramatic readings and just, like, read that speech out. I think that'd be really funny. Cool tidbit about the car. My friend Zach in real life, not Zef, but Zach.
Right.
His cousin has an Audi R8, and it's really cool. Yeah. I try to ride in it with him every chance.
Did he buy it because Zef drives it in this movie?
No, he did not. Absolutely not. That's not why he has the car. But he has one. It's like his daily driver. And like, yeah, I love that car. It's really, really cool. So
Okay. So the last game that we have to play is watching the trailer.
I love watching the trailer. Oh, you sent it?
So I'm going to let it buffer. Okay. So if you want to get it ready, and then I'll tell you when to click play.
Okay. Let me queue it up here. I'll get it ready for us.
If you search for it, it's just 17 Again trailer on YouTube. It's the first one. It's 17 Again - trailer from Warner Movies On Demand. Doesn't even have 1 million views, which is sort of surprising.
Yeah, that is weird. I should be ready when you are. Yeah.
Click play in 3, 2, 1, play.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, Mike, I can tell you're down.
Matthew Perry. Okay,
Thomas Lennon with the ears.
Yeah, wood chipper. Oh, I like the wood chipper scene.
Wood chipper scene is very strange.
I don't get why the ears thing was freaking me out, too. But I don't get why...
Yeah, I mean, he's just a nerd, you know what I mean? Like, he...
When life seems to have passed. Oh, this movie voice.
It's terrible. There's the magical janitor.
Magical janitor. Radio goes nuts. Jump, fucker. Jump. Jump.
Sounds like Christmas. 37-17.
Why do you wash yourself in a suit? Like, wouldn't you just take the suit off instead of showering in it?
Freaking me out. You would think, but I guess that whole scene is shot to like not show his face, but like it's obviously Zeph.
Yeah. Don't even think about sucking me into it with you. I'm here to yeah. my son. The Ed Hardy clothes.
Boy.
Awesome.
Sup.
Uh-huh. What are you wearing? You look like Clay Aiken. That was a good one too. I forgot about that. Yeah, Audi R8.
That's
Harriet
all
the Google
searches for that right there. Yep. And then, like, even though he looks like Zeph, he's just constantly, like, pushed around the hallway. Like, just, he's still the new kid or whatever, so whatever.
Hey, Mom, this is Mark. Wow.
You look creepy, face-grabbing, drunk.
Yeah, but I love it.
Yeah.
Maggie has a boyfriend. Oh, boy.
Why are you dating him? He's bullying your
Why
mother.
That's lame. Him? You are my father?
He's got one there we go. That was probably the best funny scene of him spraying them with the hose.
Yep. And then him getting his ass like, oh, the flip phone video quality.
Dude, I know. I was just thinking about that. All the old flip phones. By the way, why didn't they just call the cops and get them to break up this party?
Don't know. Because that's not in the movie, I guess. I don't know.
I guess. Did we miss that dance scene? There's another shirtless scene.
I don't think that was in the movie either.
No, same. I mean, the
basketball theme. This trailer's lying to us with extra Zeph dancing and shirtless that we didn't... I don't remember that group hug either. Did I miss
I
that?
Do. No, that was in it.
Okay. 17 again.
Yeah, PG-13.
Woo! All right. So that's it. So yeah.
Minus the other bonus dance and shirtless scene, that was.
What I do want to commend that trailer for is that if you watch that trailer, you haven't really seen the movie.
Yeah,
whereas
I know.
The last couple ones we've done. It's basically like the entire movie condensed down to 2.5 minutes.
Yeah.
This is just like, I don't know, I think it's, number one, a terrible trailer, but number two, it's not like we can say if you don't want to see this movie, just watch the trailer, because the trailer's bad.
The trailer's bad. It doesn't give a good feel of the movie. It kind of makes it a little weird. The movie was good, so watch the movie. If you listened already, you ruined it yourself, so... Watch the movie first.
The DVD is $4 on Amazon, and it's so cheap that you can't even just order it on its own. It's an add-on item on Amazon,
really?
Which means that you have to like spend $15 or $20 or whatever in even like as Amazon Prime. Like you can't just order the DVD; like you have to order other things with it. Like it's such a bargain basement DVD to buy that if you don't want to just rent it, like you can own this forever for like 30 cents more if you're buying other things with it. So
think about that. Support old Zeph DVD sales. If you
give
want.
Him like a nickel on the back end.
Exactly. He needs it, I'm sure.
Okay, so the next movie we're doing... Oh, ooh, the next ones we're doing are High School Musicals. So how do you think he'll be shirtless, and how do you think he'll be crying? We'll just do all three together as one guess.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to handle it, too. One, he has to be playing basketball shirtless, because Rachel told me that he's playing basketball in that one, so I'm
and
just
we found
going...
out from this trivia, you know, my favorite trivia from this movie, that he's basketball team lead. Team lead.
Team lead. That was a really
so
interesting
So he will probably be shirtless
it.
There. I'm also guessing we're going to have a shirtless pool scene in at least one of the movies.
Really? I don't know. I would go more locker room scene than pool scene, but
okay.
I get it.
Okay.
Crying. They're
breaking
gonna,
up with Van Hudge?
Exactly. They're going to be dating and break up, and he's going to cry. Or, oh, no, I have a better one. I bet someone dies in the movie. Close to Zeph.
Probably not the first one, though.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, the second one.
Yeah.
Probably the second one.
Like, his, like, best friend or, like, somebody they went to high school with, like, ODs or something, and that's how he cries. That's my guess.
Devastating.
Yep. You like that one? It's a sleeper pick, man. That would be long
odds. I'm going
odds.
To be watching all three of these movies for signs of how Vanessa Hudgens becomes a spring breaker, because that's all I'm interested in. And Zeph, of course.
Did she have anything in between this and Spring Breakers?
Probably. We'll figure it out next time.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm excited to figure that out as well. And I'm excited to see Zeph get younger and younger, because it's going to get really weird soon.
Because remember, listeners, a.k.a. Jess and Melissa, that we're going to do Rachel. The first movie first and then the second movie. Well, she's going to watch them with us, so she isn't really... Like, she's not... We're doing this with her. But we're watching the first one first, and then the second one second, and then the third one third. So we're not really going back from
in traditional Zeph order. In Zack Attack order.
So it'll be a little bit different, but we're going to do all three coming out April 1st, April 11th, and April 21st. So get real excited because they're coming soon.
I'm very excited.
That's all I have. Anything else that you want to talk about? Was that 17 again? Zephantine again?
No. I think that we summed up the movie pretty well. I liked it. I was happy with it. Definitely something that I would watch this movie again. This was like fine by me, and if it was on TV, I would leave it on.
There you go.
That's how I feel about it. You know what I mean? Like, it's something.
Yeah, it's not available to stream anywhere, which is why I mentioned the DVD. Like, it's not on Netflix, it's not on Amazon Instant, it's not on Hulu. So you kind of have to like seek this one out. But it's kind of worth it if you like Zeph.
Yeah. No, and it just in general, it's like a you know, Saturday afternoon comedy.
It's a hangover movie, kind of.
Yep, exactly.
Not like the Hangover films, but like
if you're hungover, like,
it's good enough to keep on the TV when you don't want to reach the remote.
Yeah, exactly.
So for all things Zack Attack and all the other episodes that we've done, you can go to cageclub.me or facebook.com/cageclub. You can see all the episodes we've done for this show, all the other shows that I mentioned, Cage Club and Keanu Club. You can listen to Now and Again, which Joe and I have both been on. We've got maybe another show launching today on our network. I'm not sure. I don't want to say the name just in case it doesn't happen, but there might be a new one out today, March 1st.
Cool.
So there's lots of fun, free things for you to go listen to at those two places. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Joe, too.
And we'll see you next time on Zack Attack. Just like the water wind does, sings a song, sounds like she's singing.